This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
All I'm saying is, as a society, we missed an opportunity to have the upside-down logo represent that your franchise is in distress. Culturally, now those hats are cool,
yeah.
As opposed to, listen, I like this team, and I know things are pretty messed up right now. I'm not happy about it.
It's the new paper bag over your head. Show up to a game with a jersey where the Sabre logo is rotated 90 degrees. You just have one ready to go, so if you're mad at them that day when you wake up, like, they lost yesterday, I'm going to wear the upside-down hat.
Here's our billion-dollar idea, Joe. There's a little thing in the back, and you can undo it and rotate it around and put it back on to represent every day how you feel about the team that you're wearing the hat for.
It's a billion-dollar idea.
We are. Shut down the stream. We're done. We're out of here. We're retiring on this idea now.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. Detaching from that point about it being in distress, the Everybody Eats hat really goes next level when I see it upside down. Give me that Josh Allen Everybody Eats hat with the logo upside down. You want that? Yes, I'm interested.
You are?
I'm interested. Yeah. Although, I guess in that clip you do hear, like, you could do that. That's not how I usually will wear them.
No, that's not what,
like,
it means at all.
I have a Bisons upside down hat. It doesn't mean I'm mad at the Bisons when I wear it.
Have you seen...
Because they lost a, you know, what? Scranton.
Sure. Yeah, it doesn't mean anything bad about your team. Have you seen the Wisconsin upside-down hat?
No.
There's a couple...
Wisconsin Badgers?
Yeah, like the Wisconsin.
Would be an M.
No, it's the full word Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
But the problem is, Wisconsin upside-down looks like Nisnoxim. Because only one letter doesn't look like a letter.
Oh.
It looks up...
Yeah.
I'll show it to you in right here. Like, look at that. That's weird. Wisconsin,
yeah,
upside
down. It looks like a word.
Right. So some logos and some teams, it doesn't quite work. We were joking the one day about which team's logos would look the same,
right,
if you flipped it vertically.
Right.
Some of them
there
do.
There were some. There,
yeah,
were some.
Some of them do. Anyway, hey, good morning. Jeremy and Joe, our phone lines are open, 803-0550 and 1-888-552-550. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Wait, sorry. I got to introduce the new name of the show. It's Jerry and Joe here,
yeah,
on WGR.
Good morning. Brand new show.
I am now Jerry. That's,
yes,
the rule. If Stephen A. Smith and Nick Wright refer to you as Jerry, that's your name.
I think you should just have to be Jerry the whole
time. I'm Jerry. It's Jerry and Joe.
Yeah.
We made the rounds on the Shouty shows.
Yes.
And
we did.
We are now Jerry and Joe.
Yes. Thank you to Eric Mangini and nobody, by the way, for that was on what's Nick Wright's show? First Things First?
Yep.
On FS1. No producer or anything jumping in and being like, guys, it's Jeremy and Joe. Someone correct them during the segment before they say it 12 times, which they did. Instead,
right.
Say it 12 times. So I think they at least got it right on First Take. I'm not sure.
Yep. I've got a Twitter poll up. I've got to replace it because it's 6 a.m. and I put the wrong year. So I'm going to do this over again. That's a good time. I was basically going to ask a question that's a normal question for us to ask this time of year. Has the Bills offseason to this point, free agency, extensions,
mm-hmm,
draft, has it moved your needle on expectations for the, I wrote 2026 season, 2025 season? So I will repost this. More optimistic.
Before 7 a.m., so.
That's right. We're allowed to make as many mistakes as possible before 7 a.m. So thank you to the one person on Twitter that pointed that out. I'll have to repost this. Has the Bills offseason at this point moved your needle on expectations for the 2025 season? More optimistic, about the same, or less optimistic? So there you go. You can vote in that. 2026 season. Ugh, woof. Sorry about that. It's early.
We could talk about next year if you really want to, in the new stadium. Everybody feeling the emotion of the hype.
The final year at Highmark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This year.
Yeah. And The schedule comes out 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Yep.
Maybe 2 weeks from today. Sorry. 2 weeks from today. May 14th. 2 weeks from today, the schedule comes out.
Okay. There's only 30 days in April?
That's right. There's only 30 days.
Does everybody just know that, right? I mean, it's 6:09 on that, but I think I would have realized that at some point.
There's one of those sayings, 30 days has, and then there's 4 months to do, and you know the same.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's a thing that maybe you don't need to know anymore now that everybody carries a calendar in their pocket.
So 14 days until the schedule comes out, 10 days before we really start getting things we could piece it together with?
That might be
leaks,
right.
Leaks and, hey, there's
international schedule.
International schedule. Concerts are happening on this day, so we know that's not happening.
And primetime games.
Sure. They will go on Good Morning America like the day before, two days before, and
they'll
announce a game or
they'll
two.
They'll announce the Christmas triple header or something like that. I remember last year, one of the earliest games we learned about was, or maybe a couple of years ago, Chargers-Chiefs was going to be in a...
that was going to be the
Amazon
first,
Prime.
The first Amazon Prime
and
game.
And Packers-Eagles was in Brazil.
Yep.
We found out that one early on. So, yeah, we'll get a lot of that stuff. That's 2 weeks, you know, from today is the full schedule. And that's when the first time we'll have Howard pick the Bills. I was texting Howard about that last night.
So, about him picking the Bills?
Yeah.
He doesn't want to do it yet?
Well, I don't want him to do it yet. I mean, the fake
schedule.
We
have the opponents.
We do have the opponents. The fake schedule is, you know, whatever. It's fun. But anyway, on to the season. We've got lots to get to today. Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast and the Bill Squad podcast and the, boy, he's got a lot of them. Locked On NFL Scouting and the NFL First Read. He's doing a bunch.
Yeah.
He's a busy man. He joins us at 8 o'clock to talk about this Bills draft class that he likes. Some parts of and doesn't like some others. So we'll get to Joe Marino at 8 o'clock. I've reached out to Sal, check in today as well, as you know, we continue to kind of move forward from the draft, the finger quotes here, fallout. I thought about a fun topic to try and remember and do a little memory lane stuff early, which is what were the most controversial Bills drafts? This one... not that controversial.
Not at all.
Not that controversial, really, at all. The biggest issue was general belief that I thought they might take a wide receiver somewhere before the seventh round.
The biggest controversy here was basically they didn't draft a receiver in, like, round four.
Yeah, that was really it.
And that does not rank highly at all.
No. And past that, controversy might have been on last year when they trade with the Chiefs.
Yeah,
that was a good, honest back and forth. A good debate about should they, shouldn't they, how will that play out? There's
Kincaid even to an extent, right? Because you already have a tight end, you just paid him. You needed a wide receiver. You went with this guy instead. You're calling him like a wide receiver.
Yep.
So Kincaid was. I don't know if I'd want to go controversial though. It was at least interesting though.
Yeah.
And curious.
Yeah. There's the Elam draft pick. That was pretty standard.
That was standard.
There's the Rousseau year. That was pretty standard that year as well.
I feel like you'll often get that with defensive draft. Well, most times.
Yeah.
But with the defensive draft pick.
I agree. I think defensive line and offensive line are generally treated as, you know, you've got to do that. And the Bills have spent 8 top 100 picks on defensive linemen in Bean's tenure. So, you know, like this is.
Yeah.
Was Ed Oliver controversial? I don't remember it being that controversial. Allen, of course, was. Yeah. Because people wanted a quarterback and had opinions on the different quarterbacks. Before that, Tre'Davious White, that's trading down with the Chiefs who got Mahomes. At that time, it was a little bit of a, maybe you should have gone for a quarterback now, but that's McDermott's first year. And then we're back into, you know, Rex and thinking back to the most controversial and the most criticized Bills drafts.
The drought, there's a few.
There are.
For sure.
There's trading up for Watkins.
Uh-huh.
There's EJ and Lossman. There's...
you haven't mentioned my number one yet.
Gilmore didn't smile.
Right.
There's Spiller.
There you go.
Spiller is one. And the other one...
Spiller, when you already have Marshawn Lynch and Fred Jackson on the roster, in the top 10 still... to this day, it still blows my mind. I love Spiller.
Yeah.
Like, one of my favorite players during the drought era. It blows my mind to this day they made that draft pick with the roster they already had.
Some might call that a fantasy football pick, right? Not filling out a full team, going
too
much.
That one might be a little bit more defendable. They could blame that on, although who was playing fantasy back then.
That's right.
Was that Buddy Nix that made that draft pick? I doubt he was.
The year before Spiller was Aaron Maben. That was a big one. Aaron Maben was Brian Arakpo.
I remember
right
wanting
there.
Arakpo.
People were very mad about the Maben pick, and that one did blow up.
Wasn't that one also nobody knew who made the pick? Like, who actually made the... Was it Jaron? Was it Russ Brandon? Was it... Because they didn't... I don't think they had an official general manager at that point in time, if I have that right.
Yeah, there might
have
been...
There's a period where they don't have an official GM.
Yeah, and there's, like, distancing themselves from pick. They say that was Jaron's pick.
Right, but then Jaron... I thought I remembered him blaming it on somebody else, too, at some point. So the Maven pick is, like, weird, I think. The whole thing is just weird on that one. There's a lot of good drought ones.
Yep.
For sure. Spiller, to me, though, jaw hit the floor when they picked him, where they did. And he was exciting, and they ended up trading away the Hall of Fame running back because they had picked him, right? They trade Lynch a couple months later because they had just picked Spiller, and he goes on to be a Hall of Fame player, which, I don't know, would he have still done that if he had stayed here? Maybe.
Maybe not. Maybe not. Lee Evans, Lossman, McGahee, Mike Williams, Nate Clements. I'm back to like the early 2000s. Eric Flowers,
yeah,
Antoine Winfield.
Was the Darius pick controversial at all? No, right? Like,
it was a lot like this one, or like Maxwell Hairston, where, you know, Cam Newton goes one, and Cam Newton goes one.
Vaughn goes two.
Vaughn goes two.
Darius three.
And the most controversial thing about that year might have been that they started 0-8.
Yeah,
and they played their way into the third pick.
That's right. It was more about you. How did you not end up in the spot to draft Cam Newton?
That year was also Andrew Luck decided to stay in school.
Yeah.
So because of that, one quarterback went at the top instead of two quarterbacks going at the top, because those two would have been in the same draft class, if I remember correctly.
And it's funny because you look back at that draft and Darius, who had one first-team All-Pro season that was surrounded by a lot of probably not living up to the hype of a third overall pick.
A drug suspension back when the NFL used to suspend for marijuana, which they kind of don't do anymore.
Nope. He is surrounded in that draft class by Hall of Famers. I mean, I don't think Newton is, but Newton at one, Von Miller at two, and then behind him, A.J. Green, Patrick Peterson, Julio Jones. Because I guess maybe it must not have been controversial, because you don't, whenever you hear the stories of who got passed over, at our draft party on Thursday, we were doing like trivia stuff, and it came up that Terrell Troop was picked one pick before Rob Gronkowski, right? Everybody remembers that. They picked Troop before Gronk. And I feel like I don't hear often it brought up, hey, they picked Darius over A.J. Green, Patrick Peterson, and Julio Jones.
We had not fired up the wide receiver train way back when for A.J. Green, not yet.
I guess not.
I would have. It hadn't been built.
Yeah.
He ended up being pretty good.
Darius?
No, Green. Well, both. They were both pretty good.
Well, one much more than the other, for sure. But yes, yeah.
They both probably had their careers cut a little shorter than many would have expected. Like Green
went to, he wasn't very good in Arizona, was he?
No.
Yeah, no, I guess you're right. I mean, he had a huge year at 29 years old, and that was about it. So, yeah, Spiller's my number one, though, for sure. And then the next would probably be Maben.
Yep.
Maben, just even the fact that I'm there at, what year is that? Is that 2010? So I'm 15 years old, and I've got an opinion on, I know, like, which pass rusher I want them to draft. And it wasn't him.
It was Arakpo?
It was Arakpo. And I think most people, it was Arakpo.
Yeah, maybe.
So when they drafted him, and everybody seemed to agree, it was, okay, this seems like a dumb pick.
Yeah.
So to get that way for a defensive end, I think it takes a lot.
Well, that's kind of what Bean has been really, doing the national tour about. The bigger message on Allen and Rosen to bring that up is to, hey, be careful about judging a pick too early, which is not really what's happening for the Bills in this draft. I don't see too many people that don't like their draft. Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports gave the Bills an A+.
Mm-hmm.
The number one draft he liked the most.
I forgot who it was from Fox Sports, but somebody did their draft grades and they had the Bills number one.
Yeah.
Like, filled their needs, drafted guys at value. And really, why – this isn't to say that they will all turn out great. I mean, you could take this to mean that. But what is one thing that they kind of did? They drafted – with their first four picks, guys that people were mocking high, like in the first and second round.
Go find
mocks where Landon Jackson is in the first round, even going to the Bills. You will find them. There's not a ton of them, but they're out there.
There's Deion Walker, who Greg Cosell said yesterday, if he goes last year, he's a first round pick.
Yep, and I had seen mocks where he went to the Bills in round two. I think when we talked about, when I asked Sal about him specifically the week before, because he had this back injury, and with Ogunjobi suspended, like, are they going to be interested in a guy like that because they need availability? And it was within the context of this would be their round two pick. This guy would be one of their round two selections, and they end up getting him at the beginning of round four.
Yep.
So why are they getting great draft grades? They could very well turn out to be all great players, but it's mostly, I think, because people were mocking those four guys a lot higher than they went. Maybe about the same, but the next three higher than they went.
One thing about him, you might learn the term over the next however many months and years, Pars fracture. He had a Pars fracture. And sometimes there's an injury on your team, whether it's turf toe or he's got a Lisfranc, and it's a player that you're waiting to see come back and you want to see if they can come back from it. We're going to have Jerry Ostrowski on tomorrow to talk about that. He had a lot of good information about playing with that kind of injury and how you rehab it, how you come back from it, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, he's a former interior lineman who can talk to us all about what it's like to play injured and all that, and about this guy as a player. So we'll get him tomorrow after Joe Marino today. So Pars fracture. That's it.
Pars fracture.
It's a back injury. And that's what Deion Walker is going to have to be dealing with. But the larger point is, you know, there's a little bit of, whether it's funny or interesting, last year the Bills went out of their way to clip every single person that thought they were going to be bad, which there were not many, and say no one expected us to be good, which of course lots of people expected them to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And we're 3 days post-draft, and the Bills GM is out there trying to convince everyone that people think his draft is bad, and not many people do.
No.
There's one small question about it, and it's not even that big of a deal. So
right.
It's a funny kind of, I guess it's a funny way to play it. There's a phrase out there called the Streisand effect. If you want to Google this, anybody out there, are you familiar with the Streisand effect?
No.
So what happened here is a great example of the Streisand effect. And it's from a story that there was a story about to come out about Barbara Streisand. And in an attempt to get the story silenced, people found out about it. If you had not done that, people wouldn't have found out about it.
Right.
So
you brought attention to it by trying to kind of shoo it away?
Yeah. So it was coined by some guy. Okay. She attempted to suppress the publication of a photograph showing her clifftop residence, which was taken to document coastal erosion, drawing far greater attention to the obscure photograph. The idea is, it's kind of like don't think of a white elephant, and then you're going to think about a white elephant. Streisand tried to squash a photo, and it's like, oh, I got to see this photo she's trying to squash.
Yeah.
That's kind of Bean. Oh, everybody's talking about no wide receiver in my draft. Like, actually, not, it was a point, but it wasn't the main takeaway of the draft. That was, fourth round, fifth round, we thought you would do that sooner. He said that in the seventh round, thought I would do it sooner. And now he's out there really trying to push this idea that everyone's all over him for his draft. And I've seen an awful lot of positive about the players that they've added. So here we are, you know, the Streisand effect. I want people to talk about my defensive line, talk about my corners, talk about all the things I did on defense. Like, well, okay, they were doing that until you said everyone was really mad about receiver, which, you know, it was discussed, but it's not like there's a lot of people out there saying you did a bad job.
No, I've found very little criticism about any of the defensive players that they have picked.
Good value.
A little bit about Walker, but that's your round four pick. Like, you know, a lot of guys that you pick in that round are going to have flaws, aren't they? So, and then it is to what it means on the overall picture. You know, I don't think anybody is disputing that they need to be better against Kansas City in the playoffs, and that the defense was a huge reason why they didn't make it to the Super Bowl. And I also don't think anybody's really disputing that their defense was worse last year than the offense was.
Oh, for sure.
They lived off turnovers.
Yeah, we knew that. We talked about it a lot, that their pass defense was the weakest it had been in the McDermott era because of the transition.
Right. So I think about what it will mean if they hit these four picks. Okay, these draft grades are correct, and it's an A+, and all four of these guys are ready to make an impact right away for the Bills. What will it mean to the defense and to the team overall? How a game could be played different in the postseason, because they did look like a defense that could be picked on last year, and that was in the secondary. That also continued to be a defensive line that just could not get pressure in the playoffs with four. that it had to be manufactured, it had to be through blitzes, you had to be creative with it, and they have never really had the unit, I think, that they've wanted on that side of the ball. I do kind of think they drafted a lot of what they usually have, though, which is, you know,
penetrating defensive linemen.
Penetrating defensive linemen and big, rangy, stiff defensive ends. Right?
Yeah.
That's not to say Landon Jackson's a bad player. Just feels like he is very much like what they have drafted before. AJ Epenesa, Greg Rousseau, not guys with bend. That's actually something I want to ask Joe Marino about. Like, how important even is that? Because some of the elite pass rushers in the league, maybe most of them, feel like they are more of those guys that can bend around a tackle.
Yeah.
This was Vaughn.
Speed rushers do that.
And the Bills have a lot of guys that feel like they're more upright and they're a little more physical, bull rushing.
Collapse the pocket.
Yeah. So I wonder if they still, if they have the potential in them, even with these additions as a defensive line, to be like a game-wrecking defensive line. With just three rookies added and then Joey Bosa.
803-0550. Yeah, part of what made Vaughn great was that he was great at everything. He could bend, he could win with power,
yeah.
Win with speed. You know, sometimes you've got your speed rusher, sometimes you've got your power, and sometimes you've got both. Spin moves. I mean, Dwight Freeney was a small guy, but he could bend, he could spin. He was,
yeah.
And Jackson, Greg Cosell, I listened to a lot of Greg Cosell yesterday, which another guy who really liked the Bills draft. And one of the things he said about Jackson was he's a better pass rusher than Epenesa. Like right out of the gate.
Right.
Better pass rusher than Epenesa. So a question I had for Joe Marino, we do a live YouTube show on Mondays, was which Bills player had the worst weekend? And his answer was it's probably Epenesa because there might be a guy that's immediately over top of him where Hairston goes in the mix. There's a lot of depth there. And T.J. Walker, there's kind of an open spot for him. Whereas
T.J. Sanders.
Right, sorry.
Yeah.
T.J. Sanders, there's an open spot for him.
And Deion Walker, I mean, really.
And for Epenesa, it's you're in the rotation, and you might be – he might end up being odd man out, depending on how things go, because they could save money if they move on from Epenesa.
Yeah, post-June 1 release. Trade would be a lot better. You save $6 million if you're able to trade him, even if you get like a day three. I mean, I would do that right now.
To save six?
Post-June 1 release, you only save $440,000.
Right. Well, we've seen them trade defensive ends in the past, right? Was it Daryl Johnson?
Bam Johnson.
Bam Johnson.
Johnson.
They traded Carolina.
That was right after, I think, they drafted Rousseau and Basham.
Yeah. 803-0550 is our phone number. Good morning. We'll have some fun today. We'll get to Brandon Bean's comments on the Pat McAfee show. He invoked the New England Patriots and their build. And he's also, to my ear, gone an awful long way to answer the question I was going to ask that got him so mad with a simple, well, yeah, yes. The answer is yes, which is defendable. 803-0550. We'll not dig into any sort of spat, but, you know, talk Bills with you. Are you more optimistic, less optimistic, or about the same after the offseason? I know there could be a couple more pieces added. There's UDFAs they've brought in. Elijah Moore is in the mix. But, you know, you've seen pretty much 97% of the offseason. Do you feel better, worse, about the same? Give us a ring and vote in the Twitter poll. Jeremy and Joe, despite what they say on the Shouty Show. So we'll play some Shouty Show clips, too. Bulldog made a very good prediction. He thought that Bean clip going viral on Monday would hit the television side of things on Tuesday,
yep.
And that is what happened. It made it on First Take. It made it on NFL Live. It made it on
First Things First. Rich Eisen Show.
All of them.
Yeah.
803-0550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.